another sparkling edition of The Thought Police. We didn't do one last week because Kevin was away. I'm Mike Graham. You are?
Kevin O'Sullivan.
Kevin O'Sullivan. He's back, thankfully. And so here we are. We're going to take a little break later on for our friends from Spotify and a message from them. But you were in Cornwall, right?
Cornwall.
The West Country. How was it?
Lovely. Weather pretty good most of the time. Went for a week. Took the dog down. It sounds a bit pathetic, but, you know, our dog's getting on. So the reason we didn't go abroad is we won't be able to have too many more holidays with our dog.
No, and people with dogs will fucking totally understand that, get that. In the same way that when I took the kids over to celebrate my mother's birthday, you know, their mother didn't come because she was looking after the dog. Because you can't really put the dog, he's too old now to put in a, and we never really like putting him in a kennel anyway. Mm. And unless somebody can come and look after him literally in the house, we don't, you know, we're not leaving him.
Yeah. I mean, they're part of the family. As simple as that. Yeah. Anyway, it was a lovely time. People down there are really nice, went to some nice restaurants, some great pubs and all that. But when we first arrived, which would have been like last Saturday week, so we've driven all the way down to Cornwall. It's a place called Whitsam Bay. And it turns out we'd rented this brilliant...
Is that on the north side?
No, south. Okay. It's actually about like 20 miles west of Plymouth.
Okay.
So, amazing long beach, great cliffs. And down the cliffs are all these cabins that are built. And we rented like the... turned out we rented the coolest one. Okay. Really modern... hot tub, fantastic place, amazing views, big sun deck. So it was great. But it's quite complicated to get there. And so we drove all through all these country lanes. We've got all the directions. And the car park was a farmer's field.
Right.
And as we arrived, there's a sort of bloke in there in a van who looks like sort of casting couch country cunt, basically. You know, big red face, big fat guy.
You're not from around here, boy.
Yeah, but it was a bit like that.
Yeah.
And he did turn out to be a country cunt.
Really?
Because
they hate the fucking grockles down there, don't they?
No, exactly right. So we turn up and I'm parking. So this field, there's about 50 spaces in it.
Right.
Right? And there's one other car in it.
Yeah.
Right? So we got to walk 150 yards down the cliff with all our luggage.
All your stuff, right.
So I saw...
And the dog.
Yeah, and the dog. So I parked it right by the gate.
Right.
Sort of said, because our slot was slot number 10 or something, in this empty field.
Right.
I said, I'll put it in the slot. I'm just going to take this down. I'll be right... No, you can't do that. I said, well, why not?
Yeah.
He said, well, you can't do that. If you're going down there with your luggage and that, you'll have to park your car outside. So I go, well, there's no other cars here.
Outside the car park. Well, you weren't allowed in the car park.
Yeah. Well, we're in the car park, but he said that if we were going to leave the car there in an empty fucking car park, we had to leave. So, to cut a long story short...
Surely you park a car in a park and then fucking leave it there,
but you see what I mean? You had allotted slots according to your cabins.
Okay.
Ours was slot 10,
okay,
which was about like 50 yards up the fucking field.
Okay.
So, I want to put it by the gate, and then I said, I'll come back and put it in the station. He said, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. So I go, why not?
Dickhead.
He goes, look, I can't have your car here because I'm lambing right now.
Right.
And I go, well, where's the... I said, at this point, I started to lose my temper. So I said, well, where's the fucking lambs then?
Right.
He goes, they're down the field there. I said, what's that going to do with where I fucking parked the car? He said, I can't have your car in there if it's in the wrong place. So I go, well, you know what, mate, fuck you.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, you're fucking giving me a hard time. I'm down the other end of the field with my hand up a sheep's ass. Okay, so what a fucking great job you've got, you fucking cunt. And at that point, Henry has to hold me back because I think, I'm going to go and deck this country fucker.
Absolutely.
Anyway, the point is...
It is weird, though, isn't it? Yeah. Because if it wasn't for tourism, they wouldn't have much fucking money in Cornwall, right? If it wasn't for the people that have second homes down there, they wouldn't have much money. But they hate it.
Yeah,
They fucking hate us.
Yeah, they hate us. I have to say, apart from that, charming people. I mean, I know that can be unusual in Cornwall because what do they call us? Emmets, ants.
Do they?
They call tourists from the rest of the country ants.
Okay.
And the Cornish word is emmets, so they call us emmets.
Right.
You know, all the
Did
other
people. Did you encounter any of the free Cornwall types? You know, the ones that have the black and white flag
no,
and want fucking independence for Cornwall.
No, I didn't come across any of them.
No.
But it was like a scene out of a fucking film. film or a sitcom. You know, this guy, as I say, big ruddy cheeks, fucking great gut, Wellington boots around his shitty trousers, you know, and so on and so forth.
This is what people find though when they get this, you know, they have this delirious idea that I know, let's move to the country. They have a couple of kids and they go, oh, we'll go move to the country. I'll never forget when I first moved out to Wiltshire. Many years ago, but I'm still married, and my older kids now were little kids. And the first night there, we moved in, we bought this tiny little fucking like workman's cottage. It was like a semi-detached, and a huge field that it was backed onto. It had this fucking anthracite grain, which I'd never heard of before, fired boiler.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
anthracite
I think
grain is like...
I've heard of
it's
them,
like
yeah.
little bits of coal, yeah. right? But could I get this fucking thing started for a fucking bunch of stuff? Couldn't get it started. It was freezing cold. It was raining. You know, there was a fucking power cut for some reason. We couldn't get electricity. I remember sitting in the living room. We managed to get a fire started in the fireplace, right? After much fucking hard work. And then I had to go into town and get pizzas, which was about 20 minutes away because it was so fucking far away from nowhere, right? Got back. I remember sitting there just thinking, this is the worst fucking idea I've ever had. By the time I got the pizzas back to the house, the kids were crying, the fucking pizza was cold, the house was cold. We ended up going to bed in the dark and just thinking, we'll fix it all in the morning. What a fucking nightmare.
It was good fun. It was nice to go down there, but apart from country cunt.
And what about the food? Did you have any decent food?
I'll tell you what, I'm going to do a bit of advertising. It is a place called The Eight.
Right.
And it is in... Because after I've been in Cornwall for the last couple of days of the weekend just gone by, we segued up to North Devon, where my brother lives in a town called Biddeford.
Oh, I know Biddeford, yeah.
Yeah, quite nice little place, yeah. A bit run down, but nice place. Anyway, bizarrely, there's a sort of high-quality restaurant just by the bridge, by the river, called The Eight. And it's called that because they give you eight courses.
Oh, okay.
So we booked that up in advance and went there on the Friday night. Fucking amazing place, you know. And a real unexpected find in a town. Like, nothing against Biddeford, but it's not the sort of place.
You just don't expect to find it.
Yeah,
that's good.
And we did a lot of drinking and, it was great. Excellent. Really good.
Well, I've come back to we've come back to a story about a new service charge that's being levied in some London restaurants. I don't know if you've seen this today. Mm-hmm. There's a Shoreditch eatery, which you wouldn't be surprised about. In addition to giving you a service charge of 13.5%, they now give you a checkout fee, which is only £2.99. But people are going, what the fuck?
To leave the restaurant.
They give you, look at this, here's a bill here. The subtotal, £193.50. Service charge, £26.15. Sunday checkout fee, £2.99. So you're already giving them 220 odd quid, and they're charging another £3 to fucking check out.
Do you know what the shit of that is? Is they do that because most people don't really look at the bill.
No, they just pay it.
So they just stick these extra charges on, and you don't even realise they're there. Most people will pay that, not realising they've paid.
And a bit like presumably the service charge, you can refuse to pay it, presumably, if you want.
Yeah, I always say that to waiters.
Yeah.
What's the service charge? Is that right? I don't want to pay it.
Right.
And they always look crestfallen and said, nah.
Only kidding. But it is a bit cunty, though, when they suddenly lob 18.5% on. Because I was reading a story as well this week about Paris. I don't know Paris that well. I don't know if you do.
I do know quite well.
But apparently there's a big row going on there because the Olympics is coming and they want to impose a service charge, which apparently in Paris they don't normally do. Because in Paris they live off their you know how good they are, and if they're good waiters they get a good tip. But the government's apparently saying we're now going to make people pay a tip, and so everybody's fucking up in arms about
Jesus
it.
Jesus Christ! You know. Paris, I do know Paris quite well. I mean, I've been there quite a few times, but the main reason I know it quite well is I went once with my wife just for a weekend, and it was stunning weather. It was in like about May and fucking
not like here then.
So we spent the entire weekend walking everywhere.
Right.
Walking all around Paris.
Yeah.
You know, and it's actually, I mean, I know the suburbs.
It's nice and flat,
I know
it
sprawls.
Yeah.
But all the famous bits are quite small.
Yeah.
Quite small.
Yeah, you can do the centre.
Yeah.
I've done the same thing. It's almost the best way to get around, actually, to be honest.
It's a lovely city, actually. I love Paris.
Well, I'd like to say you missed something.
Except it's full of fucking Frenchmen.
Except it is full of French and fucking migrants, by the way.
Talking of which,
that's the big fucking story, isn't it?
Because God.
The Home Office, fuck me, what a complete and utter fucking disaster. We've now gone from, you know, losing thousands and thousands of fucking migrants. Now we don't know where any of them are. Trying to round them up. Today, I don't know if you've heard the story from Peckham.
Yeah,
which
of course,
is where fucking people have been outside the what must be one of the worst hotels in the world, the Best Western in Peckham. Can you imagine how fucking shit that
is? Yeah, I've seen
there's
it.
There's a
load
of fucking migrants being put up there. So the Home Office boys turn up today, try and drive them all the way down to the Bibby Stockholm, and these fucking wankers from Black Lives Matter decide to turn up and stop them.
Yeah, I know. But here's the thing, right? This detaining, this rounding up of the migrants.
So cruel.
I mean, they're earmarked.
So cruel.
It's inhumane. Yeah. These migrants, right, who are earmarked for deportation. Right. So the government, clearly in a sort of optical PR operation, have decided to, get photographed, the cops put them into vans.
Right.
Apparently, there's only dozens of them.
Right.
There's a handful, purely for pictures and things.
Also, there's no detention centre to put them in.
But last night, I was talking to Isabel Oakeshott on my show last night. I said, well, you know, they said they're being detained. Where are they? But both of us go, don't know, don't know. Anyway, as you say, it turns out they've been driven down to the Bibby Stockholm barge in Dorset. Mm. Portland, isn't it?
Yeah.
From which they could just fucking walk off.
So they're not actually being detained.
They're not being detained.
They reinvented the meaning of the fucking word detain.
Yeah.
So basically, they're going to tell them that they're going to deport them, and then they're going to let them go.
What
do you think they're going to fucking do?
Now we're going to put you on this barge, and don't you dare abscond,
because we'll be back in a couple of weeks, and then we're going to put you on a plane to Rwanda.
It's fucking
fuck off, aren't they?
It's barking fucking mad.
It really
barking
is.
Barking mad. And now we've got the Labour's proposed new deterrent, which is when Keir Starmer becomes Prime Minister, what he wants to do is ditch the Tories, one of their few eminently sensible moves. It's called the Illegal Migration Act. And that is something they brought in fairly recently.
Yeah, last year, I think.
Yeah, last year, which means if you fucking cross the channel illegally on a boat, you're banned from applying for political or any kind of asylum. Keir wants to ditch that and replace it with a system that means anybody who came over, however illegally, since last March, can apply for asylum. Where is the fucking deterrent there? That's an encouragement.
Right. Of course it is. And in some ways, it's an encouragement still anyway to come here, because everybody knows the one thing that's not going to happen is you're going to get fucking deported. I still don't believe they're going to do it. They managed to get one person on a plane who wanted to go and who took 3,000 quid for the privilege of going and who we now have to look after for 5 fucking years in Rwanda. And I'm told, I can't believe this is true.
We have to look out. I know he gets 3 grand, but we have
no,
to.
No, we pay for his fucking upkeep now for the next 5 years. After which, he can come back if he wants.
Well, that's what I said. What we were saying last night was, here's what I would do if I was him. I'd take the 3 grand, fly to Kigali, and then get a ticket back to fucking London.
Exactly.
It's a fucking shambles.
Yeah. How
it's
the fuck shambles. Is any of this being made possible by people who are actually sensible, coming up with these ideas where we're basically paying people? We might as well, I think somebody said this already, maybe on your show or some other show, we might as well start paying people to go to prison. You know, say, look, I'm terribly sorry, but you seem to have broken the law. I know you don't want to go to prison, but here's an incentive for you. Here's 3,000 pounds. If you don't mind, try not to spend it all on cigarettes and drugs, if you're okay with that.
And all this
fucking madness.
I know, but all this, you know, the government and Rishi and all that, I mean, it's just an image. I don't believe the reality of it at all. But it is that they're trying to look tough. So suddenly it's, right, we're detaining the migrants. Yeah, look, we've got thousands of them earmarked for deportation. They don't mention they've lost half of them.
No, they don't know where they are.
So, you know, are they getting tough or are they just pretending to get tough? They're just pretending to get tough.
And as you say, in terms of the number of people they're sort of arresting, it's all very well. Priti Patel used to do a lot of this, didn't she? Yeah. You'd have the police raiding a house and, you know, we're cracking down on drugs. No, you're not, actually, because you can still get drugs quicker in fucking London than you can get a pizza.
Yeah.
So you're not cracking down. Here's a picture of you wading into some house where there's a few ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're cracking down on shit.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you know, talking about getting tough, these cops down in Peckham,
why don't they do...
So you've got all these idiots gluing them all across the road so that the bus can't get anywhere near that. Why don't the cops do what the French cops do?
Yeah, just go in with
just
some
Just go in, wade in, battens.
Right.
If they're glued to the road, rip their fucking hands off the tarmac and get rid of the fuckers.
Because
get tough.
They seem to have forgotten, right? They did it in Glasgow.
So
do you remember they were trying to get rid of somebody in Glasgow? And the whole street sort of turned out and said, no, Glasgow's a sanctuary city. We're not going to let you take this guy away. Let's not forget, the guy that they stopped from being deported once off a plane when he was dragged
double
off.
Double rapist.
It turned out he then raped some more women and ended up in fucking prison. So you want to be careful who you're fucking safeguarding here.
Everything that the Tories are doing now, You know, like there's definitely the aura, at least, of a fight back.
Yeah.
About against this mad wokery. Yeah. You know, blokes in female wards, kids of eight saying I'm a bloke when they're a girl, and all this shit.
Yeah.
They're trying to get tough. It's just shit. They're trying to get tough on it.
Yeah.
So it's the fight back. The fight back. Well, why did you fucking let it happen?
I know. Well, this is the thing. You know, they talk about, you know, we've also now been blessed with the FDA, as they're called, rather bizarre.
That, you know, so your interview union, with that guy was
great.
With
this fucking guy who says, oh, no, it's definitely not political, but we want a judicial review because they don't want to employ fucking government's policy and they don't want to fucking work for the government. Well, fuck off then, if you don't want to do the fucking job. And as I pointed out to this bloke, they've only had two judicial reviews in the history of the FDA in 100 years, both against the fucking Tory party about Rwanda.
That's right.
And he didn't do anything about the fucking Tony Blair's illegal war in Iraq. They didn't mind carrying that one out, you know.
Yeah.
It's just fucking it's just ludicrous.
Yeah, I mean, let's... Well, how do we get to this point where you know, a bloke can put on a dress and we have all have to say, well, you're a woman. You're not a fucking woman. You've got a dick.
Right.
You know, Germaine Greer, you know, the well-known feminist, feminist hero.
Yeah, she's an old-fashioned feminist.
she is.
She doesn't have a cock.
She said she got deplatformed at Cardiff University.
That's right.
Because just before she was due to give a stirring speech, she was quoted as saying... well, I don't know about this trans issue, but in my book, if you've got a prick and a couple of bollocks dangling between your legs, you're a bloke.
And how is it that we've got to this place now where fucking that is an outrageously controversial
Exactly.
statement? And you just think, what? I mean, when the Telegraph this week splashed on the story that the NHS was going to get rid of all that shit, I thought to myself, well, that's good, but why is it even fucking news?
Yeah.
You know, that we are now going to actually stop men from going on some women's wards and lying in a bed next to a woman.
Yeah, and also the Telegraph, it's a good story, and as I say, there's this aura of a fight back.
Yeah.
But if you look at the small print in that move, it's an eight-week review, which has not started yet. And it is a fucking worrying thing. I had someone call in to Talk TV, I think it was Ian Collins' show. She's a nurse, and she's trying to put Ian straight. Say, no, when you've had a full transition... you know, from male to female or the other way around, then you are biologically a female. No, nursey, you're not.
No.
So medically trained people have swallowed this horse shit left, right and centre.
Right.
And
Dr. Renee wrote a great piece in the Mail today.
I saw.
Saying, you know, I could be treating somebody who presents themselves to me as a bloke, right? And I'm questioning them on the phone about what might be wrong with them. One of the things I won't be thinking that's wrong with them is that they've got ovarian cancer because he's telling me he's a bloke.
Yeah.
But if it's a woman who's actually pretending to be a bloke, then it could be a completely different outcome.
Fucking
it's
hell,
madness, isn't it?
It really is. And by the way, you know, when did anyone vote for unisex bogs?
No one.
When did the nation say, we no longer want gents and ladies lose, we want them all to be together?
Yes.
So who said that? When did we decide?
No one did,
and no one wants it.
Loads of schools are now doing it, which is actually currently against the law. You're not supposed to have unisex toilets in schools, but they have done. Mm. We've just done Plank of the Week this week, and we saw, I hadn't seen it before, saw some footage of, this is actually in America, in Massachusetts, a fucking drag queen going into a school of five-year-olds and six-year-olds, right? Getting them all to sing Free, Free Palestine because you're out and proud. And you're going, sorry? What the fuck? So they're now mixing up, you know, being gay with being pro-Palestine, with drag queens, with fucking counterculture, and all these other cunts in America who are fucking occupying, you know, the world's most expensive universities. I don't know where the fuck it's going to end.
Well, we have this in this country.
It's happening here,
Drag queen story hour, where various organisations, schools, I don't know how many still do it, but they were doing it, invite these drag queens to tell, read stories and tell stories to little kids. Why?
I know.
Why?
I mean, I didn't ever have a fucking drag queen in my school telling me fucking stories.
So I've heard the representatives of the drag queen story outfits going, well, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Well,
you must be a bigot.
Well, no, I mean, what it is weird and unnecessary.
Yeah.
What other organisations? You know, you don't get policemen saying policemen's story hour. You don't get plumbers saying we want to go into schools and we want to read them stories.
Yeah.
This is about fucking indoctrination.
Yeah, it's very weird.
And it's about sexualising children.
It's very fucking strange.
It's about sexualising children.
It's very strange.
They enjoy it.
Let's take a little break and listen to a message from our friends at Shopify. Hey, Kev. Do you know what that sound is? That sound that goes like... Do you know what it means? That's something that a lot of people have been hearing a lot of lately. And you can't help but think of money, can you? Because when you hear it, you think, what's going on? Is everyone else starting some kind of side hustle or becoming their own boss? And you know what they're hearing? They're hearing that sound. It's the sound of yet another sale on Shopify, and it's the all-in-one commerce platform which can start, run, and grow your own business. It's revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide, and whether you're selling whatever it is, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a t-shirt, whether it's shoes, whether it's works of art, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can successfully grow whatever business you've got. It covers all your sales channels from a shopfront ready point of sale system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform. Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. You can use Facebook, you can use Instagram, and you can use TikTok as well. There's all sorts of industry-leading tools, and they're ready to just get you growing. Shopify gives you complete control over your business and your brand, and you don't even have to learn new skills. You don't have to worry about the design. You don't have to worry about the coding. You've got 24/7 help. And with an extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. All you got to do is have a quick look on it, and you'll be able to see how easy it is to find your way through various different pieces of advice, because you can revolutionize your business with the help of Shopify. It doesn't matter how big you want to grow, Shopify will be there to empower you with the confidence and the control to take your business to the very next level. It's time to get serious about selling, and if you are, get Shopify today. And this is a possibility, because what you can do now is sign up for a £1 a month trial period at shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice, and it's all lowercase, and that is shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice to take your business to the next level today. Don't forget, it's easy. shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice. So, what else can I tell you? What else has been going on in the big wide world?
Oh, well, let's talk about Scotland.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
Oh, what, fucking hell,
what
yeah.
What a fucking shambles.
How the fuck has that whole country just completely blown up in the space of a year? Yeah. Old Useless has only been in for about a year, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he somebody said, my question was, is he the thickest national leader in world history?
Right.
And a mate of mine said, no, he's the thickest person in world history.
He really is.
Dumbass fuck.
I know.
What a dumbass.
Well, what's even better, as I've been saying to people, is that he appears to have been put up to this by Stephen Flynn, who's a bloke who obviously wants his job. And this guy from the Westminster SNP
went up to
see him and went, yeah, he's a good idea, mate. Why don't you fuck off the Greens, right? Tell them we're not doing net zero anymore, bunch of cunts. I've got a load of constituents that want to fucking work in the oil and gas industry, and we can free ourselves of these twats, and we'll be fucking good. So he went and did it, and then completely got himself fucked. And you can imagine old Flynn sitting back going, yep, that was easy.
What a fucking idiot. And you've got...
now they're back because they had a vote of no confidence, and the fucking Greens voted with the government.
Yeah, because John Swinney was going to get the gig, and John Swinney, the new SNP leader, is a Sturgeonite.
Yeah, and I remember John Swinney from when I used to live up there.
He used to be all right, didn't he? But he swallowed the Sturgeon.
He was
poison.
Relatively middle of the road,
but he's not anymore.
But he was never any great fucking leader either.
Yeah, but I saw a story today. Right, this is Scotland for you. A school, you might know, it's a very expensive private school in Edinburgh.
Yeah, Fessies or something.
John Stanley School, something like that. Anyway, it reported these parents to the social services because the mum and their kid wanted to, as a daughter, wanted to identify as a bloke. And I think she was like 12 or something. And the parents said, "Oh no, you know, we don't want you to go along with her alleged new identity." So the school reported the parents to social services.
Amazing.
And you know what this is all about.
Presumably, the social services will be very woke, and so
they'll be all over them. Yeah, well, you know, I don't know what's happened to Scotland. Great country, great people. Now rule. ruled by lunatics.
Yeah.
Turning a country into a lunatic asylum.
And let's
asylum.
Not forget, they've still got the fucking hate crime bill, which he brought in as well.
Well, exactly. They're stuck with that.
Which allows kids to report their own fucking parents.
What the fuck do these people think they were doing?
I know.
And also, Humza Yousaf has ruined the cause of Scottish independence
totally.
Along the way.
Right.
And now we've got another Sturgeonite.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the madness fucking continues.
Yeah, the madness does continue. The madness continues down here, of course. I mean, by the time you listen to this, you'll probably have got the results of the local election, so we don't know.
We can talk about it now.
Well, we can. Well, yeah. Well, we can anyway, because it's not a radio station.
Here's the thing, which we...
Will Sadiq Khan be fucking mayor of London? Probably.
What happened? We all know what happened in Hainault, horror in Hainault, that fucking lunatic with a sword killed a poor little kid.
So we still don't know why he fucking did it.
No, exactly. So we all know about that. And then the next day, which was that yesterday?
Yeah.
A poor little kid gets stabbed to death in London as well. So what you'd like to say is, hey, Sadiq Khan, you're making a fucking mess of this city. That should be something that the people of London make a decision on.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to fucking say it. Mm. You know, it's just ridiculous.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
But the problem is that these ludicrous election rules, a bit like the fucking asylum seeker rules in this country, are outmoded, they're outdated. Yeah. You know, the world has moved on. Mm. People are on social media slagging off. I mean, did you see Wes Streeting's tweet about Susan Hall calling her a dangerous politician and somebody who was supported by white supremacists? I thought Wes Streeting was quite a sensible guy until I read that. He actually said that.
They're all a fucking saint.
What the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, well, this is the truck. The thing is, we were talking earlier about Starmer's determination to overturn the very sensible Illegal Migration Act, you know, so he can let more people in.
Yeah.
So that's
who might vote
Labour.
That's
the mask slipping.
Yeah.
And then because I'm going to control the immigration. He's not. He doesn't want to.
No.
Wes Streeting. That's the mask slipping.
Yeah.
Give him an inch, and suddenly everyone's a white supremacist and a racist.
Well,
only we in Labour are saintly and holy.
But this is what we
that.
Found out, isn't it, from the whole business of the anti-Semites? When Keir Starmer went, "Well, I've changed the Labour Party," and it was suddenly like, "Oh, hang on a minute, that bloke that's running for the seat up in the north in Rochdale, you better get rid of him because he's in favour of Hamas." You fucking idiots.
Yeah. But the trouble, you know, from most of our point of view about Starmer and Labour is, frankly, I think he could get caught fucking his dog and he'd still get elected.
Yeah, I know. Well, I still have yet to meet anyone in London who's fucking voted for him.
Well, but the trip, he's an unstoppable force now due to the Tories' uselessness.
Right.
But trust me, when he gets the keys to number 10, the mask will come off and you'll find out what it's like to live in a country ruled by that fucking left-wing lunatic.
I know. Because the trouble is, it is like a Trojan horse, isn't it? Because all of these fucking Labour MPs and prospective Labour MPs are actually very, very far left. They're not just Labour supporting old-fashioned working-class people who work for a living and want to be represented like by a trade union. No. They're all about trans ideology. You know, look at old Starmer just the other day coming out and saying that, he now thinks that Rosie Duffield was right, that only a woman can have a cervix.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. He spent 2 years fucking denying that and told everybody who wanted to hear that she was fucking wrong.
Do you know what he said? But it was 2020, I think, 2021. When Rosie Duffield said only women have cervixes, she was, of course, right.
Yeah.
I'll quote him exactly. That is something that should not be said.
Right.
That is not right.
Yes. Well, you can't say fairer than that.
Fucking.
And now apparently he was wrong to say it was
not
right.
He says, of course, she was right biologically. And by the way, you know, this Voltfast, this is the guy, Keir Starmer, who couldn't define a woman or refused to. In fairness, at that point, nor would Rishi Sunak.
No.
But he wouldn't define a woman. He is now saying, oh, no, I was, you know, I should have defined a woman. I said, of course, 99% of women don't have penises. Wait, Keir, tell us about this mysterious 1% who do.
I know. It's just ridiculous.
Are you one of the 1% of women who's got a cock?
Yeah.
Well, I am.
When you say these things out loud, it sounds ridiculous. But you kind of go, how the fuck did we ever get here?
I'm fucking sick of it.
I know.
So when did this country used to be renowned? Well, to borrow our station's catchphrase, for common sense.
Yeah, it did.
It was full of sensible people.
Right.
It was governed by sensible people, sensible, moderate people. Now it's full of fucking lunatics gluing themselves to the fucking road.
And they're desperate not to upset anyone, and in the process, upsetting fucking everyone.
Fucking, it's really getting worrying. It's really getting worrying.
I know. It really is. Meanwhile, let's talk about the football, because we're coming near the end of the season, you know. And we'll be doing a story today about the Euros. They're going to open the pubs late. Well, good fucking luck with that, because nobody goes out anymore. I mean, you know, when was the last time you were in a pub at closing time?
Jesus,
I can't remember
Christ,
the last time I was.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a, you know, okay, they're going to stay open late for the football matches.
Yeah.
But loads of pubs now, and you can't blame them. Mm. They're shutting at like 9:30, 10 o'clock, because there's no one in there.
Right.
I went to a friend of mine's got a restaurant in Covent Garden.
Yeah.
And we went, me and Henry, they went there.
And how is that doing?
It's actually doing very well.
Right.
Because he's a great restaurateur and he's been in the business a long time. He knows how to make a restaurant work. I better not say what restaurant it is. I've already advertised one, so no, I am the restaurant
People
commercial.
People turn up and go, yeah, Kevin O'Sullivan says you come to your fucking restaurant, mate.
I'm the restaurant commercial man. Anyway, so we went there on a Friday night and it was buzzing all night. It was great. But he says that throughout the week, what happens is, he says at 6 o'clock, 6:30, the restaurant's fucking packed.
Mm.
He said by 8:30, it's empty.
Really?
Everyone's gone.
Yeah. See, I've heard this from a couple of people that I speak to that I eat in their restaurants quite often in Borough Market. And they say that, you know, there's a lot of people in Borough Market. They're all, you know, the tourists are all back, but they're not going out for dinner. Mm. They're sitting there and having, you know, like a sandwich from one of the stands, or having a burger or something like that, or having some oysters, but they're not going to the restaurant. So he says that on a Friday night now, on a Monday night, there's not much point in being open.
Well, I went there last night after my show, about after 10 o'clock, right? And
were the pubs still open over there?
Yeah, but it wasn't like it used to
be.
But there's a newish restaurant now. Again, I better not name it, but my friends were dining in there. And they were going, oh, this food's amazing.
Yeah.
You know? And it was a really nice place. The staff were nice. Mm. Couldn't hear yourself fucking think. Booming music.
No, really?
What do you want to go to a restaurant for? It's not a fucking disco.
No.
You know, why do you want to be in a restaurant when you can't hear yourself
That's
talk?
What it was like in New York in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, every fucking restaurant you went to was really loud.
Yeah. And you know why? You know why? It's because stupid young fucks run the place.
Yes.
And they think everybody wants to fucking dance around a disco shit.
Yes.
You know, even when they're eating or having a drink.
Yes. Well, I mean, in New York in those days, it was people weren't really eating very much because they're all in the fucking toilet snorting lines of coke. And then they come out and they start picking at the food. And you go, do you not want that then? No, not really. I'm not very hungry.
That's right. Both London and New York in the 80s and the 90s.
You go to all these posh restaurants and eat fuck all.
Yeah, yeah. All the restaurants needed to do was to have very, very good bathrooms with surfaces all over the place.
Funnily enough, you talk about unisex toilets. I mean, the first unisex toilet I saw was in a place in New York called the Chelsea Place, which was a sort of semi-nightclub and bar. But it was the first place where it just had toilets. And you'd go in and sometimes there'd be people fucking in there. There'd be people doing coke together. It was fucking mayhem. But there was no separation.
Those are the days.
Yeah, I know. I mean, no wonder we're a bit tired.
In LA, you know, in my American city across the coast, they by law, they took all the fucking doors off the public loos because people were shooting up all the time.
Right.
There were all these syringes all over the place. That was in the public loos.
Right.
And then in all the clubs and the restaurants, they also took the doors off to stop people doing coke.
Right.
I mean, it's all right if you're having a piss, but you know what I mean?
Right.
So I go to this club once on the Sunset called the Union, which is quite a good club. Quite sort of rough and ready, and you know, it's like a dance floor, a few cubicles, and then literally right by the fucking dance floor, there's this book, right, which you used to nip into, you know, and then they took the door off. So I go there once, and there's some fucking guy, people dancing, talking. It's a guy sitting in the loo in full view taking a shit.
Jesus, I've never got that about American toilets.
Yeah,
so many American toilets, you'd walk into off in the bar. And there would be a guy sitting there, and you'd be like, fuck me.
Yeah.
That is very weird. That's very weird. Anyway, how's Fulham doing?
Well, we lost to Liverpool at the weekend, but I wasn't there. I mean, we're fine. We're staying up, so it doesn't really matter anymore. But I've just bought... I've got two more games in my diary that I'm going to attend. One is the I think it's the last home game against Manchester City, which might be interesting.
That might not be something.
I'm going there to watch Manchester City.
I've been listening to a bit of Talk Sport the last couple of days, and there seems to be an awful lot of a large contingent, shall we say, of Spurs fans who actually are supporting Manchester City. And want Manchester City
to beat Arsenal.
No, but they want them to beat Spurs. They're actually going to support.
Because they're playing. Interesting.
Them, which is fucking weird, isn't it?
It is weird, but that's football for you. But I want City to win the title because I think they deserve it because I think they're probably the best team in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and Arsenal aren't. No. And I think that City will do it. So I'm going to that.
Also,
game.
It'll piss off Piers Morgan as well.
That's the main reason. Right. By the way, does he fucking owe Rishi Sunak?
Well, he says he
now?
Doesn't. He's now saying, because he came out, because people were yesterday going, yeah, so now you owe him a grand, right? And now he came out, I think it was this morning, and he said, no, the bet did not include somebody from African origin being paid to go to Rwanda because he wanted to.
He's changing the fucking goalposts.
Yeah,
he shook on. He said, you will never... Just to put people in the
Not
picture, Piers Morgan shook on live TV with the Prime Minister saying, I bet you never get a fucking single migrant to Rwanda. Well, they have got one.
Well, they have. So, of course, he's kind of shivering around. And, of course, as he would say, he's moved the fucking goalpost. But he should just pay up, shouldn't he?
Yeah. He should, yeah. He's got the money for it. By the way, going back to football. So I'm going to go to the final game of the season.
Yeah.
I'm going to go away. Don't often go to away games anymore. But it's Luton, right? So the scenario...
Well, that could be a bit tasty,
well, the
it?
Scenario is this. There's a possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, I quite like Luton. They've been very plucky.
Yeah.
They've also got the best-looking manager in football.
Oh, yeah.
This bloke called Rob Edwards. You know, so my wife, he's a good-looking guy. Could be a fucking film star.
Right.
So Henrietta, my wife's walking past the TV the other day and watching him being interviewed. Henrietta doesn't know what shape of football is. You know, they have no interest. She walks past and goes, who's that? Anyway, so we're going up to Kenilworth Road, it's called, and it's shit ground.
Right.
Like a fucking
corrugated
iron shack.
Right.
Anyway, the chances are, there's a possibility that Fulham, that could be the game that determines whether or not Luton stay up.
Oh, right.
So if Fulham beat them,
right.
Going back to the station, we better keep our fucking heads down.
I was going to say, because it can be a bit tasty at Luton, I've heard. Anyway, well, we shall see. Well, we've come to the end. We will be back same time next week, I'm sure. Now we've got different schedules as well. We can probably, hopefully, work out a time when we can do a live show.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we've got to do that.
We've got to work on that.
I was talking about that the
We've got to
day.
Get hold of Pooch, actually.
Yeah.
I'll try and do that in the next few days.
Let's fucking do it.
Let's get on with it. Good stuff. Meanwhile, let's hope fucking Sadiq Khan doesn't get re-elected. But if he does, fuck him. We'll just have to keep giving him shit for another three or four years.
If he gets re-elected, at least we'll have lots of material for the Thought Police.
Exactly. The banker. See you later. Thank you.